So, this is Paris.
I say, Peter, it's exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely ripping. I say, Harry, look, an oil well.
So it is. Let's have a look in the guidebook. Oh, silly us, it's the Eiffel Tower.
Ah, Paris, the city of sin. What shall we do first?
I wonder if the pubs are open.
Hello, chérie.
Oh, good evening, miss.
Oh, this is my friend, Francois.
Hello, you are English, yes?
Fancy you spotting that. by the way, my name's Peter, and this is Harry.
Hello, Harry.
Had much rain lately?
Well, now that we know each other, what shall we do?
You don't play golf, do you?
I am sorry, no.
Look, why don't you two boys join us for the evening?
I am sure you will all get on very well together.
What did I tell you, Harry? Aren't the French hospitable?
Rather. We've only been in Paris an hour and already we've got a four for bridge.
That is an excerpt from Innocence Abroad. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are crane operator Susan Fairclough, Ruby Picasso, Long John Chumley and his talking hedgehog, House of Commons hula hoop team, Gordon Crocus, Miss Betty Brocade.
She's a nice bit of stuff.
To continue, Peaches Prendergast, wheel tapper Arthur Tempest Weathervane, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show of which it has been said, and quite rightly too. Well, now, as usual, I've had an eventful week. On Monday, I was crossing Kensington High Street when a car just missed me by inches. Unfortunately, I didn't get his number, but I'd recognize that laugh anywhere. Tuesday, I spent the day at home. I sat in the lounge with my double-barreled blunderbuss and took pot shots at the grandfather clock in the hall. I was just killing time, really. But on Wednesday, I had to go along to the BBC Effects Library to see if they had a sound effect of a cockroach backing into a blancmange. When I arrived, they were all very busy getting a horse to mark time on a wooden plank so that it would sound like two coconut shells being knocked together. But eventually they got around to me, but unfortunately, the nearest they could get to a cockroach backing into a blancmange was a caterpillar going forwards into a table jelly. Perhaps you'd like to hear it. Listen. Well, I'm sure no one will be able to tell the difference, will they? However, on Thursday, I was looking around the shops for a mahogany egg timer to use for my mahogany eggs, of course. I ran into a friend of mine, and we stood chatting on the corner of the street when a passing lorry suddenly went, and it made my friend jump out of his skin. Naturally, I asked him why he'd been so frightened, and he said,
"Well, about 6 months ago, a lorry driver ran off with my wife, and every time I hear that sound, I think he's bringing her back."
Which is understandable, I suppose. However, on Friday, I decided to go to a show in town. So that morning, I called in at my local theatre ticket agency.
Hello? Yes, see you well, ticket agency. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, we're booked right up for that. Yes, unless, of course, you'd like to take a box. Really, if you stand on it, you might be able to see the show. And you. Oh, good morning, madam.
I'd like 2 seats for the Royal Ballet tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, sold right out.
Oh, well, in that case, give me 2 for the Crazy Gang.
Very good, madam. There you are. Now, sir, you're next.
Well, I think you're going to a show. What do you suggest?
Here's the theatre guide. Take your pick.
Well, now, let's see. The Flowering Cucumber... No Flies on Granny. Ah, now, The Scarlet Woman of Soho. What's that like?
Very sordid. It's full of nasty characters, all sex and violence and lust. As for the language, well, it's positively disgusting.
I'll have a ticket for that, then.
Well, sorry, it's booked up.
Well, what about dinner with a debutante?
Oh, that's a good idea. Beats going to the theatre any time. I remember... Oh, I see what you mean, the play. It's not much good. I could write a better play than that myself.
Have you ever tried?
Yes, I once worked for a whole year on a play.
And what was the result?
All work and no play. Here, have you seen The Reluctant Cuckoo?
No, what's that?
Well, it's a typical English farce. Uh-huh. You know the sort of thing, they're all the same.
Oh, sorry, wrong room.
Good heavens, it's my husband, under the bed, quick!
Has anybody seen my trousers?
Good evening, Vicar.
Hello, Aunt Ethel.
No, you fool, it's me dressed up as a woman.
Who keeps changing these door numbers around?
A fine honeymoon this has turned out to be.
Hasn't anybody seen my trousers?
Will he be all right, Doctor?
I'm not the doctor, I'm the plumber.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, we won't bother with that one. Now, what else is there?
Well, excuse me, sir. I just attend to this young lady. We got your tickets, miss.
Oh, thank you.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster. What are you going to see, Pat?
Well, it's an amateur show put on by the Scoutmasters and Guide Mistresses of Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, what are they doing?
Guys and dolls. I just love the music.
Me too. Now, sing something from the show, Pat.
What? Right here in this ticket agency?
Right here in this ticket agency. I don't remember that one, I don't think, unless it goes, right here in this ticket agency. Well, that was from Oklahoma, that one, yes. When are you going to sing?
If I Were a Bell.
Well, that's nice too.
Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell I'd be ringing. From the moment we kissed tonight, that's the way I've just got to behave. Boy, if I were a lamp I'd light, or if I were a banner I'd wave. How do I feel, little me, with my quiet upbringing? Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. Ask me how do I feel from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning. Yes, I knew my morale would crack from the wonderful way that you looked. Boy, if I were a duck, I'd quack. Or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're fondly caressing. Hell, if I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. Or if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. Or if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Jolly nice, Pat. You know, you can't beat those American musicals.
That's where you're wrong, sir. The longest-running musical in town is British. Salad Days.
Oh, I always thought that was a vegetarian restaurant.
No, don't be like that. It's the biggest success since Cheech and Chow.
Cheech and Chow? I always thought that was a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, I suppose you think you can get cheese snacks at the Mousetrap.
Well, can't you?
Oh, Ken, the Mousetrap is a whodunit.
And what's more, it's the longest-running show in town.
So you see, Ken, these are obviously the right ingredients for success in the theatre.
Yes, I see. A whodunit and a musical. I wonder if anybody's ever thought of combining the two.
Ooh, a good idea. I think I'll write one. Hang on. There, what do you think of that?
What's this? The Salad Trap. By Arnold Quill. Arnold Quill, is that you?
No, it's my pen name. Well, go on, read it.
All right, now, here we go. Now, the action takes place at the country residence of the Witherings. As the curtain rises, the stage is filled with a gay throng of weekend guests.
It's quite the thing to spend a weekend with the Witherings
at their spacious and palatial country seat.
It's quite the thing, because the dear old Duke and Duchess
are the nicest sort of people one can meet.
They will never thrust upon you, and of course there's nothing non you, though you never have to call the Duke your grace.
It's so comfy in the West Wing, but we really think the best thing is there's not a single nudist in the place.
It's quite the thing to spend the weekend with the Witherings
for the thrill of hunting in the early morn.
It's quite the thing to join the dear old Duke and Duchess
for a jolly game of croquet on the lawn.
You can have a spot of polo, there's canasta, bridge or solo, or perhaps you'd rather go out shooting game.
The Duke's a splendid fella with a really well-stocked cellar.
And we must say that we're awfully glad we came.
I say, someone shot the Duke.
And in front of the servants, too.
How thoughtless. Duchess, I sympathise with you.
You're very kind, Colonel. More tea?
Yes, thank you.
Now, please, everyone, don't let this little incident spoil your enjoyment. Come, you're neglecting the cucumber sandwiches. Hetherington.
Yes, my lady.
We shall need some more milk. And Hetherington.
Yes, my lady.
When you have a moment, phone for the police.
Very good, my lady.
Oh, well, Colonel, shall we continue? Your lead, I believe.
Oh, yes, so it was. Bit of luck, his grace was dummy. I must say, Alice, you're taking this like a brick.
Noblesse oblige, you know. There's no people like type of people. Those folks out of Gibraltar. Even when your broker says you've lost the lot, then you find the servants and you're gone too pot. Next day on your scrutin you may find a blot, but there's blue blood in your veins.
I say, let's get on with the game.
Ah, here comes my lovely daughter, Clarissa.
Hello, Mummy. Bad luck about Daddy, isn't it?
Yes, dear. Oh, Clarissa, you've still got your pyjamas on.
Yes, Mummy. I've been to a party.
Beg pardon, my lady. The gentlemen from the police have arrived.
Show them in.
This way, gentlemen.
I'm the inspector.
I'm the constable.
In detective work, you've got to use your head.
I say, inspector.
What is it, constable?
This man here on the floor, I think he's dead.
I'm the inspector.
I'm the constable.
A ghastly crime has been committed, I would say.
I say, inspector.
What is it, constable?
I caught the butler trying to sneak away, hey, hey.
I caught the butler trying to sneak away.
Hetherington, so it was you?
No, it wasn't, Mummy. It couldn't have been Hetherington. We were together.
What? You and the butler together? I shudder to think of what the butler saw.
Oh, she's fainted. Duchess, speak to me.
False branded on my throat.
Is this right, miss?
Yes, it's quite true. Hetherington was with me the whole time.
Yes, we were petting in the pantry.
We were petting in the pantry. petting in the pantry. It's such fun petting in the pantry.
You can't beat spooning by the knife board.
Cuddling on the bread tin.
Kissing in the butler's, yeah.
Loving in the larder. It's great fun loving in the larder. It's thrilling gossiping by the gas stove.
Simmering by the saucepan.
Kissing in the butler's, yeah. Diving those stairs is a merry affair. So why not try it now and then? Getting in the pantry,
loving in the larder,
kissing in the butler's den.
Did you get all that down, Constable?
Yes, I've got that, sir. Shall I sing it back to you?
No, that won't be necessary. Now, don't no one attempt to leave. Someone here in this room is a murderer.
But which one?
That's what we've got to find out. Who done it? Who done it? Who was the assassin? Who done it? Who done it? Who done the old man in?
Who done it? Who done it? Who done it? Who done the old man in?
Who done it? Who done it? We haven't got a clue. Who done it? Who done it now, Colonel? Was it you?
It's perfectly preposterous. You're talking through your hat. How could you think an officer could do a thing like that?
How could you think an officer could do a thing like that?
Who done it? Who done it?
The Duchess is my guess.
Well, madam, what about it?
All right, then, I confess.
Well done, Inspector Pilkington. You've solved another case.
Yes, but what about the motive?
The fool, he chucked my ace.
So now you know who did it and how our story ends. We'd like to ask you just one thing. Please come tell your friends.
So much for crime musicals. Next week, My Fair Hound of the Baskervilles. Meanwhile, here's a premeditated arrangement of Three Blind Mice. And who done it? The Fraser Hayes Four.
Three blind mice, see how they run. They all run after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life? It's three blind mice, three blind mice. Doodle-oo, doodle-oo, doo. See how they run. Doodle-oo, doodle-oo, doo. They all run after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice?
Men tell this tale with high regard. Hark to the words of the immortal bard.
Yeah, we blind and curn, timorous moosey, running loosey about the hoosey. In your tailless condition, you don't look so juicy. You'd hardly get a nod for your starving pussy.
Three blind mice, see how they run, see how they run. They all run after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. They all run after the farmer's wife.
She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
They all run after the farmer's
wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
They all run after
the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife.
And so we sing again. Three blind mice, see how they run. Oh, they all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. You never saw such a thing in your life as three blind.
Squeak, squeak.
Hey, farmer's wife,
lift up your petticoats, run for your life.
Three blind mice, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a thing in your life as three blind mice?
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight we present a close-up on housing. Are today's houses well built?
Or are there too many flaws in them? Well, now, first of all, let's talk to one or two house owners. You, sir, are you happy in your house?
Oh, yes, of course. I reside in a most salubrious district. The house itself is very central. On one side, there's a gasworks. On another side, there's a glue factory. At the back, there's some livery stables. And opposite, there's a fish and chip shop.
That's very unfortunate.
Yes, but in one respect, it's very advantageous.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, we can always tell which way the wind is blowing.
And that's always worth knowing, too, isn't it? Well, now, how about you, sir?
Well, as a matter of fact, I rent a house, and if you ask me, the landlord asked too much for the rent.
Really?
Yes, last week he asked for it five times.
I see. Now, madam, are you happy in your house?
Well, the house itself is all right, you see. But the neighbours are frightful. They're forever borrowing things. In fact, if we ever want to spend an evening at home, we go next door.
And now, finally, let's have a word with one of our leading architects. Sir, tell me, what are the principal features of your design?
Well, my houses are all the same. Downstairs, two rooms and a kitchen, and upstairs, two bedrooms and a box room.
Is that all?
On the BBC, that's all.
Yes, I see. Well, now, let's consider house purchase. Before buying, the purchaser should, of course, be sure that the property is in good condition, and here he can rely on the services of a qualified surveyor, whose expert eye will soon spot something wrong.
Yes, well, now, there's a nasty patch of woodworm here.
Oh, but,
Yes, we can spot these things a mile away. I mean, look for yourself, see all those tiny little holes. That's a sure sign.
But honestly...
Yes, well, it's no good trying to deny it. I shall have to report this to my client.
Look, could I say something?
Well, what is it?
You're looking at the dartboard.
Well, he didn't know the score, did he? However, it's true, of course, that many people prefer to live in a flat, and recently many large blocks of luxury flats have been built where the emphasis has been put on comfort and clever interior design.
I say, Rodney.
Yes, Charles.
What do you think of this one?
Oh, it's positively elegant. And just look at the decor.
Dreamy, isn't it? And it's so tastefully furnished. It's genuine Sheraton, you know.
You don't have to tell me.
But, Charles, have you noticed the chandelier? It's Louis Quatorze.
Yes. What an exciting place to live. One can't help falling in love with it.
I know. I could spend hours just looking. It's all so light and airy.
Well, it's the windows, you know.
I've never seen such large windows.
Well, come on. We'd better finish cleaning them.
Righto, pass the lever.
Well, whether it's a flat or a house, castle or cottage, it's home. And at the end of each day, what a joy to return to that haven of peace to be welcomed by a devoted wife.
Hello, darling. Oh, my poor angel. You must be exhausted after your hard day at the office. Oh, come and sit in your favourite chair. Here, your slippers and your pipe. Dinner will be ready in a minute. Oh, dear, I've mixed you a special cocktail. Well?
Lummy, I'm in the wrong house.
Now, let's turn to the future. All over Britain, new housing projects are being started. And to give you a progress report on one such undertaking, we sent our commentator, Cecil Snaith, to the new satellite town of Hazelwick.
Well, listeners, I'm standing now in a muddy morass of rubble, which one day will become Hazelwick's shopping centre.
What are you talking about? I think you're all deep. Oh. I don't believe you've got Halloween ever around there. It's already morning. Anybody's gone in early.
Oh, yes,
I don't believe I'm holding up with your rule, can I?
Oh, quite, yes. Yes. Well... I've just been informed by the borough surveyor... that this part of the town has already been completed. I'll move over now to the work being carried out on the main housing site. At the moment, the ground is being prepared by giant bulldozers and those fascinating mechanical excavators which scoop up tons of earth at a time in their massive steel jaws. From here, I can just see into the cabin of this machine where a skilled operator is cleverly maneuvering this gargantuan piece of equipment. With a deft movement, the driver sends the grab swooping down with its jaws open like some monster, ready to debouch.
I say a little to your left. No! No!
Wahoo! This is Cecil Smith on my way to the Hazelwick rubbish dump, returning you to the studio.
Thank you, Cecil Snaith. Sounds of you're having heaps of fun. Heaps of fun. Well, now, housing has certainly come a long way since the early dwelling places of our ancestors, who, of course, lived in rude mud huts. They're much the same as ordinary mud huts, only with writing on the wall. Yes, it's a far cry from the many elegant mansions which grace our countryside, those famous stately homes which stand in vast acres of pasture and woodland, looked after by loyal retainers.
Locksley.
Yes, ma'am.
This morning I want you to trim the hedges, dig a ditch in the south meadow, feed the pheasants, repair the door on the summer house, and when you've finished, report back to me for some other jobs.
Very good, ma'am.
Oh, and Locksley.
Yes, ma'am.
I want you to know how comforting it is for me to have such a dependable man about the place. I don't know what I'd do without you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Locksley.
See you later, Lady Chatterley.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. Does an animal trainer get the lion's share of the money? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Menneman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jakes Brown. Thank you.